no longer can you be just the talent that comes in and, you know, does a show for 4 hours and leave.
Welcome to Brandwidth On Demand, your guide to rebooting radio.
Everybody's got to be able to do everything, and not just because we're paying fewer people to do more work, but because if the team goes down and there's one person remaining, they have to be able to get the station on the air and keep it there.
Brandwidth On Demand, rebooting radio with a different take on all radio can be. Now your guides through the mediamorphosis, David Martin, and author of the book Brandwidth, media branding coach, Kipper McGee.
It's something to which many women of young children can relate to. Balancing work and home life. In fact, today's guest says she's done nothing but work and mom. Work and mom. That's it. Hard to argue, since Lee McNabb had her first baby about the time she became operations manager for the 10, count them, 10 brand Des Moines radio group. Then she had twins within the same calendar year. Lee has over 2 decades of commercial radio experience, where she hosted the number one rated morning show and programming a number one rated radio station with stints in markets like Champaign, Rockford, and Kansas City, before moving home to Des Moines, where she's again making her mark. Brandwidth On Demand is proud to welcome the very talented Lee McNabb. Hey, Lee.
Oh my gosh, that is the nicest introduction I've ever had in my life. Could you just follow me around and say that every time I walk in a room?
My pleasure.
It's really amazing, Lee, just watching everything you're doing and everything you've done. And with all that experience you have under your belt, putting aside the mom part for now, what advice would you offer someone now who's like you were when you were interning at the old Q102 Star 102.5? They're starting out in the industry today. What would you recommend they focus on to succeed tomorrow?
Sure. So I actually am back here as operations manager at the Des Moines Radio Group, where I started in radio 20 plus years ago. We're not going to exactly do the math because that's just rude, friends. But I started here when I was 18. My high school had a radio station. So after I graduated high school, I went to go find some place to intern. And that's my biggest piece of advice. If you want to be in radio, interning is the way to get your foot in the door. And 9 times out of 10, most places will only allow you to intern if you're getting college credit, whether that's at a 2-year, a 4-year, or like my husband, who went to a broadcasting school, a 9-month program. You often need the school to get your foot in the door to be the intern, but the intern is the one that gets to learn all of the things, meet all the people, absorb all the information. That's exactly what I did when I was 18. I had great mentors who would take time out of their days to teach me things that they did not have to, but just out of the kindness of their heart. And maybe they saw a little something in me. I don't know. I try to pay that forward as often as I can with our interns and part-timers here. But just taking advantage of all of it. You may go get a coffee for someone who puts in a good word for you. You may merge a log at 10 p.m. for someone who becomes a great reference on your resume. I've stacked wood. I have frozen my assets, if you will, out and about on the street. I have worked all of the nights, all of the weekends, all of the holidays, but it was well worth it because I learned everything. No one didn't know who I was because I was in their face all the time. And that's really the suggestion I would give anybody that's wanting to get into any sort of broadcast.
So, Lee, before we were so rudely interrupted by this silly pandemic and you're becoming a first-time mom, entering Des Moines, you were clearly facing some fundamental turnaround issues. And as you enter a new market, what are some of the initial things that you look at to evaluate the situation? And how do you prioritize your goals once you've set them?
Oh, good question. I think prioritization often comes down to money. Who's not making the money that you know they have the potential to make, whether that's a person, a show, or a station? And when I came here to the Des Moines Radio Group, I initially accepted just the position of the 93.3 KIOA program director. It's a station that I listened to growing up, a station my mother, who will be 70-something next month, listened to when she was growing up, a heritage station here in Iowa. But it just kind of lost its way a little bit, as many previously oldies stations had or have. you know, they'd gotten beat to the initial punch with the classic hits thang, as someone across the street had done it earlier, not better by any means. They just got a leg up on it. And so my initial task when coming here was just kind of getting that station back on track. It was not making the money that it has or it could. And even in 2021, there's still room for improvement for sure, as with any radio station right now because of the pandemic. But So that was number one priority for me regardless. And then as the other tasks were put on my plate and ultimately the OM position, from there, it's just kind of a combination of squeaky wheel and potential. Who's not getting the things done? And by who, I mean which station isn't getting the things done that you know it can. Is it a branding issue? Is it an imaging issue? Is it a staff issue? Is it a, they don't have the resources they need to successfully execute the kinds of things that you know they can? Is everybody on the team pulling their weight and bringing something to the table that others can't? Which angles are you exposed? Who isn't covering their base? Where might someone else hit a home run because you've got a gap in the coverage? So all of those things kind of come into play. There are a couple brands here in the building that really make it happen. And they are the bottom of my priority list because even on their worst day, there are a couple of the best stations in this market and I've got bigger fish to fry.
Mm-hmm. So with the pandemic hopefully approaching the rearview mirror and all of the other things that have been going on in the world lately, how has all of this experience kind of changed what you're going to be looking for in future applicants, or has it changed?
Yeah, I think so for sure. A couple things. One is, I don't know that the full, well, I'll pigeonhole it to a big morning show ego sort of person, but I don't think that there's much room for someone like that anymore. Everybody's got to be able to do everything, and not just because we're paying fewer people to do more work, but because if the team goes down and there's one person remaining, they have to be able to get the station on the air and keep it there. No longer can you be just the talent that comes in and, you know, does a show for 4 hours and leave. You at least need to have the skill set to be able to merge a log, probably, let's be honest, put together a log of some sort, even if it's just an auto schedule and an export, to merge the log and keep the station on the air, because you may not have your team right there next to you. And I think the other thing is, and it's something we've been hearing about for a long time, but I think now more than ever, social media skills are so important because in some aspects, it's all we have when it comes to interacting with and touching our listeners. You know, there was a while there where we did not do any remote broadcasts at all. They were all these virtual remotes.
Yeah.
And some of that may end up sticking around for sure, especially as some of the bigger companies get rid of their local promotions directors and just start doing a lot of these virtual types of things. But the first thing I did when the pandemic hit was try to find a way for my morning show, Luke and Heather, to interact with listeners like they would have at a bar remote. We found a program where they could host a weekly virtual trivia. They can see the people that are participating. They can talk back and forth in the messages. We have prizes every week. We do different kinds of topics for the trivia. They're not getting paid. They're staying late every Thursday and going in the conference room and setting up a set and doing this hour-long trivia thing. But they're not on stages anymore introing concerts. They're not out at the Iowa State Fair. They're not out at a 5K on a Saturday morning. So how can they shake hands and kiss babies when you really can't shake hands or kiss babies? And it's things like all of these different virtual things. Mm-hmm. You know, what virtual thing can you come up with? What can you invent? What isn't being done? And then how do you stay on top of it on all of the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter? You know, there's a new one every day. You have to be able to extend your show outside of the on-air product because it may be the only way you're able to interact with your listener.
Oh, that's a great point. You know, with your impressive track record, and it is impressive, clearly you've worked with some exceptional people along the way. What's one piece of advice they share that you'd like to pass along today? Conversely, you probably also worked with some not so good bosses, without naming names, unless you want to. What made them weak and how'd you deal with it?
Sure. Well, listen, my best piece of advice is not going to be from anybody in the industry. It's going to be from my mom. And that piece of advice is anybody going to die? If nobody dies, then, you know,
Yeah,
I can't
right.
tell you how many times a day someone runs in my office, hair on fire, it's the end of the world. And it's literally the first thing I say every time, will anybody die? Is anybody going to be harmed in this situation? No. See, it could be worse. It could be worse. Yeah. So I think just always having a little bit of perspective, Mama McNabb, she knows what's
up. However, if you get to the point where they could break their neck or catch their death of cold, we'll know where that came from.
Right. And that came from Darwin himself, and they might need to reassess some life experiences.
Yeah. Any not-so-good bosses type characteristics?
You bet, guys. So there's one in particular that comes to mind who was a general manager of mine. And I think the biggest takeaway from him was nobody that he managed was a human to him.
Oh boy.
Everybody was a number or a dollar amount or really an inconvenience, quite honestly. That's how I felt most of the time. And you were only allowed to come to him with solutions. You could never come with problems. And while I don't have a ton of problems, I like running up the ladder on a regular basis. If someone's in a position above me, they are there because they, in theory, know more. They have a different way of looking at things, can suggest something to me that might make it easier, or just help me brainstorm in general. And that was not allowed. You could only come with the solution, not the problem. So I conversely try to be very aware of setting aside time for, now listen, I don't want to be a therapist. Let's get one thing straight. I go to therapists. I am not a therapist. But I try to make time for people to feel human around me. And my boss now, Lance Richard, laughs because I often reference my management style as using the five love languages, because people look for that in all of their relationships, not just their romantic ones. So if someone's love language is words of affirmation, well, then they're probably just looking for words of affirmation in all aspects of their life. So I try to keep in mind that that person really likes to be told they're doing a good job. You know, if someone's love language is acts of service, well, perhaps it goes a long way if I dub in a show for them sometime because I know they're running behind, or I take a little production off their plate because they've got other stuff going on. And I really employed a lot of those types of management, I don't know, aspects because I had worked for someone who was never capable of treating anybody beneath him as a human being. And I just think it's important. We all have lives. We're all people. We all have feelings. We all have families and hobbies and passions and all of these things. So I think, yeah, I took away from my lack of relationship with my general manager that having some sort of relationship with people makes you more of a team, makes them want to work harder and not disappoint you. And, you know, that's kind of how I try to do all of the things.
Interesting. Makes a lot of sense, though. So,
thank you.
Any tips that you might have for an employee who wants to be sure that they make themselves indispensable, especially with all of the things on the horizon in the near future, and things they should be doing now to prepare themselves to get through the ranks and basically grow their position at a good company?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is being a self-starter, not having to be asked to do something, but to jump in and say, how can I help? I've been struggling with an employee for a while now who, when she doesn't know how to do something or she doesn't understand, she never asks. She just doesn't do it. And, you know, I'll say, well, did you ask anyone? Well, no. You can come ask me anytime. I want to know that someone is not only going to complete all of their own tasks, but they're going to go on and find some other ones if there are some to be done. So I think being the person that raises your hand and saying you'll do it, even if you don't know how, you'll do it, but can you teach me? Well, now that's a double plus in your column because you're learning some new stuff. You're getting in front of the person who wants it executed and you look like you're a go-getter. So it's really just learning all of the things that you can. And then being game to do all of the things that you can, because we're all running at 100 miles an hour. We all have 70 jobs on our plates. If you come to the rescue of someone who's juggling everything, you know, you can be the hero and stay top of mind in a positive way.
We are with Lee McNabb. Oh, she is something else. Somebody you'd like to hear from, we'd love to hear your suggestions. Email us show@brandwithondemand.com.
And that person you suggest can join other great guests like Ross on Radio's Sean Ross, the cartoon voice of Scooby-Doo, Fred Flintstone, and so many others, still doing afternoon radio on Baton Rouge, Scott Ennis, and lots of other great guests. You can find them all when you select previous episodes at brandwithondemand.com.
And if you like what you're hearing, please take a second and rate us wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, Lee shares some things she knows now she really wishes she knew way back when.
What is it that makes Music Master the favorite choice of radio programmers all around the world? Ask CKRM's Colin Lovequist.
Music Master has just eased the workload and the stress, giving me more time to spend with the community.
The real question is, why will you choose Music Master? Find out at MusicMaster.com.
The stuff we know now, we wish we'd known then. Brandwidth On Demand.
We are with the talented, oh, she is talented, Lee McNabb. And Lee, what one thing do you know now that you really wish you'd known way back when you were starting your career?
Just do it and act like you own the place. If you act like you own the place, people might actually believe you. And eventually it becomes second nature. Fake it till you make it, girlfriend.
Our thanks to the exceptional Lee McNabb. Her complete bio and links to her stations and more, all in the show notes. Just scroll down on your phone.
Thanks also to our equally exceptional exec producer, Cindy Huber. And coming up next.
Hi, my name is Skip Dillard, Vice President of Community and National Partnerships for WBLS and Hot 97 in the Big Apple of New York City. Definitely, you need to check out this episode. Not because I'm on it.
Well, yeah, it is because he's on it. Top guy from Emmis, market number one, winning stations. He's got a lot to say. Don't miss it.
That's a wrap, Kipper. Initiative, taking the initiative. Yeah, Lee talked about it. We'll talk about it, too, in the 1 Minute Martinizing. Find it in the show notes at brandwithondemand.com. I'm Dave Martin.
And I'm Kipper McGee. May all your brandwidth be wide.